Hello, everyone. Welcome to Arash's World. Today we have a special guest, Gary Laney. How are you doing today?
Ross, thank you so much. It's nice to be with you. Appreciate you having me.
It's great to have you. So, one of the toughest questions, let's get it out of the way. How would you briefly describe yourself?
Okay, the tough question up front, huh? I'm going to go from current to past. So, author, speaker, entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur, and high-tech executive from years ago.
Okay, that's
So,
wonderful.
I mean, and if you want to know, I mean, if you want more than that, that's just descriptive on a occupation standpoint. I mean, I'm a father of six, one marriage, by the way. And I wasn't from five marriages or something. So I have a wonderful wife, I have a great family, and I am passionate about relationships, especially strategic ones that are meaningful. And that's I could go on, on and on about things about my books, but no, that's probably enough.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, wonderful. So, your latest book is Become a Super Leader, The Four Essential Anchors for Mastering Influential Leadership. And leadership is something that is very interesting. I'm very interested in it, and many people are. So, maybe just briefly here, what makes a good leader? And that's again also a tough question, but what did you find? What makes a good leader?
Well, so I'm going to give you a little bit of background. So I've been a leader for 40 plus years. I've managed thousands of salespeople, support people, customer service people, and I also have been in startups where we created networking environments, communities, business communities, and so white collar workers, professionals. So leadership is really in the mind of the beholder and the person that's giving. Who's the leader? And I'm a big concept believer in servant leadership. And so, but that's not all you need. Obviously, you can be a good servant leader, and you still will not have a successful company if you don't pay attention to the other things that are important. When I got my MBA at Northwestern, by the way, I got my first MBA from my father, who taught me the ropes of business for, years. And then I bought one of his businesses. He was a retailer. So I probably could say I have four careers. Since I grew up in that stuff. But more importantly is to know that leadership is about the ability to make a business not only function well, but make the people in it, the customers in it, and those that pass by think it's reputable, that it's good, it's going to grow, it's going to be a successful experience for everybody. So it's not just about me as the business owner or me as the customer, even though they always say the customer is right. That's a good attitude, but it's all about the complexity of the relationship to begin with, which needs to be portrayed as something very simple because people want to do simple things for good reasons. That was kind of a foundation, but let me tell you. About 4 years ago, I had begun to write my book called The Power of Strategic Influence, which surprisingly became a bestseller. I really didn't have that expectation. But I've been teaching the concepts for 40 years or 35 plus years, so I figured I must know what I'm talking about. And so, in the constructs of doing that, I started to write my book. Have you ever written a book before? Is that something you've tried yet? Okay. Well, we should talk about your book next. So, this book I'm talking about, the Power of Strategic Influence, about I got one chapter done, and I just didn't feel right about things. The outline wasn't happening. I didn't feel like I had a good flow. So I decided to stop everything for about 60 days. Maybe it wasn't quite 60 days, but approximately 60 days to start surveying leaders out there to ask them what they thought about influence. Why does influence matter in leadership? What are the constructs of a good leader? How do you develop it? How do you use it? How do you borrow it? How do you share it? I mean, all those things, because leadership is kind of a living organism if it's working right. So I surveyed hundreds of leaders in the US and wrote a chapter called How to Identify and Leverage Your Competitive Competencies as a Leader. That became such a popular theme, and most of the speeches that I gave that I was being asked to give were about that topic. What are the top competencies of a leader? And so that became very obvious. I need to write a whole book about it. So then I wrote the book, How to Become a Super Leader, and I'll justify that for a second. I expanded my survey. I continued to survey, but I went worldwide this time. And now I've surveyed over 1,000 leaders. And one of the main questions I asked is, what are the top competencies you think, you believe, a great leader has? And everybody has different ideas, by the way. If they had to narrow it down to a few, I think we'd have some more commonality, but I didn't restrict them from saying what they could say. They might say a leader has to be courageous. Someone has to be inclusive. They have to be authentic. I mean, I can go on and on because we had 50 different competencies that came in, and 40 of those had multiple votes. So we decided to come up with the top 40. I like top 40 anyway, because I like music and I'll go up with the top 40 hits.
Totally.
And then I knew I had to narrow that down because I wanted to make this simple for people. Simplicity is really important to me. And proven methodologies are super important. And stop me when you want to ask another question, because I'm not going to go too far, but I just want to finish this concept if that's okay.
Sure.
All right. So when I was in my 20s, I adopted a self-improvement program from Benjamin Franklin.
Oh,
and I didn't know much about him before I heard about this program that he had about, he called them his 13 virtues. So imagine you and I are not young pups anymore. So when you're 20 years old, think back. Do you think you had a concept that you wanted 60 years later to be able to say I had a legacy, that I wanted to be able to prove that I was a great person? No, most people at that age want to make money, they want to get married, or they start thinking about, you know, dating and all that stuff. The things you think are more serious about life, but you don't think about legacy, not that early.
Mm-hmm.
But Benjamin Franklin did. He came up with 13 virtues that he thought he was lacking in. He was lacking in integrity, lacking in, you know, his view of the opposite sex. I mean, lots of 13 virtues. And he felt like he wanted to improve the behaviors because he didn't like himself very much, even though he knew he had a lot of capacity. So for the next 60 years, until he was 84 years old, 1790, he was born in 1706, and he constructed this program in 1726 at 20 years old. And it became a marvelous tribute to him over all those years to become the amazing polymath that the guy was. Polymath is someone with a wide range competencies and talents. He never would have done that without that mindset. It was a mindset. So my use of it was not on the virtue side, because I was in sales, I was in business development. And so I wanted my salespeople, business development people, professional service people to say, how can I improve myself? What are the 13 things that I really need to help me become the best version of myself in my career? So they became competencies, not virtues. So does that answer your question? I won't go further, but that's
now I have another question. So is there overlap between virtues and competencies that you're talking about? Because in my view, I think virtues are going to be very important too as a leader, and any type of leader. They need integrity. That's something you mentioned. I think that's hugely important.
Yeah.
And reputation and a brand name and like standing up for it, and somebody who's also honest. I mean, those are important virtues too that, in my view, a good leader should have as well.
Well, you're talking my language, because during that process of surveying all these leaders, I found out that many of them could be considered virtues.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity. One of my favorites is something called humbly confident, that some leaders felt a leader needed to have. They need to be humble, but they need to also be confident enough to be able to carry us on this great journey.
Sometimes too much humility, which I don't like, or false modesty. And that is always suspicious. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to cry every time we talk because you're so humble, and I love that. Okay. Men can cry. I cry.
Sure.
But you need to have confidence. You need to exert yourself. People need to feel your presence when you walk in the room. A leader has presence. And so I think you're right. So that's an interesting question. So yes, there is overlap. There's several that I would consider to be virtues, not just skill sets. Leadership skill sets versus virtues, which is the good human part of the competency that we're talking about.
Now, what I like is it's not wishy-washy. You're not saying, okay, we're born leaders or anything. You're stuck with it. If you don't have confidence, you're not a good leader, you can't. But it's something that you can learn, something that you can adjust to. Your example of Benjamin Franklin is like, I'm going to set these goals and I'm going to reach them. So that is, I find that very fascinating because that gives us all hope. But I was also wondering, though, in terms of confidence, because if I look back at my 20-year-old self, was not confident. And now maybe it's something that's also come with time and with experience. So how can we leverage that? The fact that these are things that we can learn, but then also things that maybe some of it we're born with, or some of it we develop, or we change our perspective on. And that comes with experience.
Well, so if you're born with it, it means you're a prodigy. I'm not a prodigy. I don't think you are. Maybe you are.
I tried to be.
In a community, there might be a few prodigies that just it's natural. Now, even prodigies have to work at it, though. If they don't work
Absolutely.
at their talent, it'll become diminished and they won't succeed and they won't fulfill their journey the way they should. So I just gave a talk at the University of South Carolina at the business school there. And the name of the conference was called Influential Leadership Symposium, something I organized and brought in some amazing leaders, including the president of UPS, including the president of Coca-Cola Consolidated. And we had amazing leaders there. The title of my talk, you just gave, it was Leaders Are Not Born, They're Made. Leaders are not more born, they're made. And I borrowed that concept from Vince Lombardi, who says something very similar. He kind of did it the opposite direction, said leaders are made, not born. But it's a true concept. And the fact of the matter is, my book proves it. I have a proven success, methodology in the book teaches you how to become a great leader and also to identify one thing that can become your legacy. So if I had to ask you, what is your legacy? What is your superpower? There would probably be a couple of things come to mind. And most people say, oh, well, I'm good at this, but I'm not so good at these other things. Well, my books is to teach you how to have a wealth of confidence in many things, but then to focus on just one thing that can become your legacy in the future. So these leaders that got up and spoke, they all talked about one thing, and that's kind of their legacy that they're trying to portray. So when they leave, people remember back and say, wow, that was the person I can point to that had integrity. That's the person I can point to that was humbly confident, like we've been talking about. And I think that's really a critical thing. And then the fact that you can learn it is really the key. You're right.
And so, I mean, I just had a podcast with Talmadge Boston about top presidents and what they bring
Wow.
into leadership and the different things that they bring in. But what's quite fascinating is that none of them hit all the marks. So they have a specific thing that they're good at. And like you mentioning, there's like the special talent that we have that we need to develop. But how can we get the like all-rounded picture? Because again, we're good at one thing, and some of the presidents were not good at speaking, which is kind of interesting, which we don't assume. But they made up through other ways. So how can we make up for the lacks that we have? I mean, the strengths are easier to develop because I'm good at this while I'm continuing. But what about catching up with the stuff that we're not so good at?
So let's talk about it for a second. So number one, you've already said it can be learned. Okay, well, I can learn more than one thing. It's just I shouldn't do it all at the same time.
Good point.
It's like a business owner, a guy that's an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur 12 times, 12 businesses, and I've been a hired entrepreneur for companies that are starting up as well. And so the key of getting started in a business is you have to have a wealth of knowledge. You have to wear many hats. So I learned early on, I grew up in that kind of a family in that environment where you have to wear a hat for this, and then the next hour someone comes in, I have to put on the next hat. And I used to have a boss in Chicago who's very, very well known in the business consulting community called Thomas Kuzmarski. I did an internship for him in 1985, long time ago. Most people say, when? How old are you? During that internship, I got to shadow Tom Kuzmarski, who was so good at getting into high levels of those business circles and convincing them that they should use his consulting services. And he was a great consulting, a marketing consultant. And today he runs a big organization called Chicago Innovation, which he co-founded. Anyway, so the point of the matter is, he would take me on a call. We'd go to see Hart Schaffner and Marx, for example. It was an account that I was involved with him on. And there was a guy named there, an executive called Chick Schwartz. And before we walked in the door, Tom stopped me. we're going to walk into this meeting where we're going to talk about what we're going to do for them. And Tom stopped me and says, okay, I want you to imagine this black box. I said, okay. He says, in the box, you're going to reach in and grab the appropriate hat for this situation. That means I have to know how to wear that hat, by the way. It doesn't, I can't just put on a cowboy hat and I've never even been around a cowboy and be a good cowboy. It has to be the hat that I am familiar with. So I have to be prepared to wear many hats depending on the situational leadership. And so I thought about calling my book Situational Leadership, but I decided to be the super leader was the concept. So the idea is the following. So I'm going to ask you, how many weeks are there in a year?
How many weeks other than a year? That's like 52.
Thank you. How many? So I mentioned that I narrowed down this list of top-ranked competencies from all the leaders that I surveyed down to 13. Why would I choose 13?
I just think of the Last Supper, and it's like a more religious image.
Okay. Well, that was 12, but this is 13. So the question is, how many times does 13 go into 52?
Four times.
Exactly four times. Exactly. So what Benjamin Franklin did, and that was his system, and I adopted it. I made it my system, and I've used it for many, many years, decades. He created a genius system that was perpetual. He chose 13 things. Every week he would work on one of those. Can't do them all at once. And I have to be able to run a business in many facets, but I'm going to have a mindset for on one of these items. He called his virtues, I'm going to call them competencies. All week long, my mindset is going to be on integrity. All week long, it's going to be on innovation. All week long, whatever my list of 13 is. And when I finish the 13 weeks, that cycle is finished. I rate it, I evaluate it, I make goals for the next time I'm going to do each one of those. And I
As
start
an
the whole process
educator,
over again. Excuse me.
that makes me think of modules. So you have like different modules that going through, and you're preparing it. And I really like that. But especially also the point of
Exactly.
like being ready for things, being ready for the moment. And when you talk about situational leadership, I agree with that, though I do prefer the super leader as a title. But I think you have to be ready for different situations because there's not like one size fits all outcomes. You have to respond to that moment in a unique way often. And that's when I think it comes together, that kind of super leader idea where this is not the way to respond. I have to do it differently. Or I used to do it this way, but now I have to change my strategy because this is unexpected or different from previous experiences.
So, tell me what you think your superpower is.
I would like to consider myself a Renaissance man. So I think I have languages, I would say. I speak five languages. And I
Well,
think
you speak
those
very
are
well.
Those are things that I like. And I think my one of my superpowers, I can't also just do one thing. I have to do various things. And I like to delve into that. And I think that also gives you a more global perspective, I find, in my sense, instead of like specifically going for one thing. And in education, they want people to specialize in one thing, one subject. And I find that's a shame because I prefer a more well-rounded outlook so you can shift your perspectives according to the situation.
Well, so I love that. Number one, you're a lifelong learner, which means you love language and you like and you enjoy doing multiple things, not just one thing. That's a skill set to be able to, they always say you can't, what's the term? I can't be, what's the term where you can do many things at once?
Multitasker.
Can't
Multitasking.
multitask and think
Yeah.
it's Friday. My brain is a
Yeah.
little fried. So, I've never heard people say it's not possible to be a multitasker. Well, you can have them there ready to use and through your adaptability and your ability to pivot throughout the day. It means you can be having a mindset of more than one thing. You can all physically only do one thing at a time. I understand that.
Exactly. That's the thing. I can't do two things at the same time, but I can do the one thing and then do the next thing, right? So one at a time. And I think multitasking, when I don't like it because it's kind of half-assed, where you just don't really focus on one thing and you just half do it. So I think I want to be fully on it. Like this
Well,
podcast, that
that's
is
why
like
this.
100% my focus. I don't want to think about anything else, right? And I think that's I like Zen, the idea of Zen, of focusing on one thing. But I also like the samurai, the Japanese samurai, who are ready not for battle, but just for any situation that
Anything.
might come their way.
And that comes through practice. I've known some great athletes in my time, and I was a three-time college athlete as well as high school. And I've wrestled the greatest wrestler of all time, Dan Gable, not competitively, but I got to be tutored by him and tried to wrestle him.
Oh, that's
So, I mean,
awesome.
I've those people didn't become who they are overnight. It didn't
That's
come automatically. Even if they were a prodigy, they still have to work how to develop it. Skills have to be developed, even if you have an early start or rather someone else. So my superpower, if you ask me what mine is, because I've tried it and I've proven it over years, is my adaptability. Now, I have other skill sets. I have to. I mean, when I got my MBA at Northwestern, I said I got my first MBA from my dad. My second was Northwestern Kellogg. I graduated undergrad in business marketing, so I was able to go to Kellogg and say, can I opt out of these other business classes? I've already done them. I already have a major in it. They allowed me to do that. I ended up with a three major MBA at Northwestern in policy, finance, and marketing. So I came out with a wealth of knowledge that I would never have gotten if I just focused on one thing. But it
Exactly.
took time. It took 2 years to get through it, to have some level of expertise that which would prepare me for to become a business leader, a business owner, a general manager someday.
So I want to look at specifically where there's the different steps that you have, and I really they resonate with me. As one of the first steps, you say raise your sights, and can you explain that a bit? What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, I mean, so I love nautical terms. And so get on this ship, you can't see that far in the distance. The only way you can see it is to get higher. And so you get up on a higher pedestal on a pole, and we have a lookout guy up there saying, land ho, because they can see it, but you can't. When I was a salesperson, someone told me one time that the best way to take ownership, if you will, in a conceptual way of the territory you're going to work is to go to the tallest building you could find in your territory, go up on the very top and look over your community. It's conceptual. I mean, this is a metaphor. I don't really own it, but I am taking ownership for it because I want to love the community. I want to embrace it. I want to understand the complexity and also the opportunity. So when I say raise your sights, it means don't say pie in the sky, but I want to say I have potential. I can do more than
Exactly.
what I'm doing. I
Yes.
want to raise my expectations so that I can get there someday. If I have low expectations, guess what? I'm going to achieve low expectations. So I think potential is an important concept to understand because, if I ask you what your potential is, and if you have reached your potential, what would you say?
Oh no, I still haven't. I'm still trying. Maybe I'm still at the beginning point. But I think one of the things is
Yeah.
also to not to have your head up in the clouds, but maybe if you
Thank
have
you.
it, also be grounded. And I think that's important. So that's when you see the horizon, it's something that is feasible and realistic, but it's also not limiting.
Yeah, so I think that's the whole point of potential is there is no limit.
That's true.
I mean, how do people keep breaking these records in track and swimming and in sports and even in business? How does someone become, looks like Elon Musk could become the first trillionaire someday? How is that even conceivable? But there is no potential maximum. But my book is about mastery because you can't measure potential, but you can measure skill set and your ability to do things better because usually there's a quantitative side to it and you can see how you're progressing, how you're doing better. So the whole idea here, you ask the question, how do we develop ourselves in many things? You have to have a system that you work on a daily basis. I'm sorry if you don't like that, probably shouldn't read my book. Because if you're not going to work on something daily or have a mindset on something for a whole week, you'll never ever have that polymath opportunity, I guess, that Benjamin Franklin
I grew up in Germany. I love systems. I'm just a huge fan of systems because they
had.
put things into perspective. But then also the idea of vision. I think that's when you envision yourself, and you talk about that too. And when we have visionaries, they are looking at like Benjamin Franklin. And I think that is hugely important too. And it's often undervalued or underappreciated, the fact that we need a vision that we aim for, not necessarily the stars, but close enough.
Well, so Arash, one of my mentors, and it was a friend back in the day who started out as a someone I could not relate to because I thought he was bigger than life, is Stephen R. Covey, who wrote the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Oh, yeah.
When I was 19 years old, I read his first book, which was similar to that book, but on a more spiritual basis. The book he wrote that became popular, you know, was more scholastic and more applicable to business. But it was still philosophical and you couldn't relate to it. But I read his first book called Spiritual Roots of Human Relations. He was all about relationships and I learned a lot from him. And then later he became an instructor of mine. And then after that, he became an advisor to the company that I was growing up in. I started as a salesperson, became the VP of sales over several years. Stephen Covey taught me the concept that you'll remember is called begin with the end in mind. So that's one of the seven habits. So before you begin a journey, before you jump into something, you should consider what the end result should be. What is my vision? Where am I headed? So that I can create the appropriate plan that matches the vision. Otherwise, you'll just be helter skelter and you'll end up anywhere. So.
Now, as somebody, I find myself more spiritually grounded here too. But I think something that has worked for me is manifestation, and not in the sense of just like imagine something and I get there or win the lottery and that's it. No, but with the effort, with the system, I think
Thank
combination
you.
of that. So you have your vision, but you also work towards it, but you don't lose sight of that vision. You don't lose hope along the path. I think that's something that I've been fascinated with. And just as an example of not to give up too, is I remember I saw this program about the Beatles when they were in Hamburg and it was not, they were not breaking through, they were not successful, but they said, let's hang in there. Let's get to the top. And they were constantly dreaming of going to the top. What if they had given up? And that's I asked myself when things are not going well, it's like hang in there, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I memorized this poem years ago called Stick to the Task. It's from an unknown author. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but do you mind if I do recite it? It's very
Yeah, please
short.
go ahead. Yeah.
Stick to the task till it sticks to you. Beginners are many, but enders are few. Honor, power, place, and praise will always come to the one who stays. So stick to your task till it sticks to you. Bend at it, sweat at it, and smile at it too. For out of the bend, the sweat and the smile will come life's victories after a while.
Hey, that's
Isn't that a
true.
great
I love
poem?
that. That is a great poem. Yeah. And
I thought that stick-to-itiveness, I think you're right. It's so important.
so once you have that, you develop your personal plan. And again, that would be the system or what is it I need to work on, the modules, if you like. But also something that's very important, are you willing to commit to that plan, to that path, to that vision? And I think that is hugely important too. And as you're saying with your poem, that seems complete dedication to it and the commitment. Full commitment to that goal.
Yeah, because a lot of people are good at starting things, not so good at finishing things. I've learned about myself. I'm a little bit different that way. If you can just get me started, I always finish it. So I hesitate to start things until I think I'm ready. And but once I start, you can plan on having a result. It's like these books. I got into it. I said, oh man, I really want to write a book, you know, and is this a lot of work? But once I get into it, once you get the passion, once you get the vision, once you start feeling the movement of it, I mean, it takes over and becomes a great experience.
Wonderful. And that was a great experience, this podcast with you, Gary. Thank you so much. So it's Gary
Thank you so
Cilemi.
much, Raj.
You are the CEO of Success Masters, author, entrepreneur. We talked about that, strategic consultant. And one of your books, or your latest book, is Become a Super Leader, The Four Essential Anchors for Mastering Influential Leadership. Thank you for such an inspiring discussion on leadership. I very much enjoyed it. Thank you for being on Raj's World.
Well, likewise, a great experience. Thanks for the opportunity.
Wonderful.